I was asked actually Thursday night by Doug if I could to preach here. I thought, you know, I don't know the congregation, but let's stick with something simple. Let's stick with a topic that it's very timely in our society. And although I believe everyone here believes there is a God, sometimes it needs to be fortified and the encouragement of these things that we believe, because the world wants to, they want to say something different. The world, it's not even a dispute among many in the world. It's just the assumption. There is no God. We have political leaders right now who have a strong faith. And when they stand up and they have certain beliefs, they're ridiculed. They're considered to be stupid, insane. I stand before you today, tell you that I believe that there is a God. And I think the idiocy truly is to think anything else. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. To call these people fools, I don't see a problem with, because the scripture says, if you think that there is no God, then you are a fool. You'll see me put my glasses up there, otherwise I won't be able to see you. I'm farsighted, so I'll be flipping these up and down. Hopefully that's not a distraction to you. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Realistically speaking, as we take a look at what the world is saying, there are those who espouse atheism. They're the ones saying, there is no God. I know that there is no God. And you're a fool for thinking there is. Agnosticism, that's kind of the cop-out. It's like, well, you know, and there's different kinds of agnosticism. There's the militant agnosticism, and then there's just more the skeptics. Militant agnosticism says that I don't know that there isn't a God, and you can't know that there is or isn't either. And I didn't put an exhaustive list here, but pantheism says, you know, there's many gods. You know, everything is God. Mother Nature. We have to be careful with our little children as they're watching these cartoons. I think the title, The Land Before Time. Well, there was no land before time, because we see in the scriptures, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You ever hear the term prehistoric? God alone is prehistoric, because we have the history of everything written right here in these pages. God alone is prehistoric. But we even have a little bit about that. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And there's deism, and there's many others I could have put up there. Deism is the idea, well, I believe there is a God. He created everything, and he just kind of stepped back and let it go. We believe there is a God. We believe so much more than the fact that there merely is a God. In Romans chapter 1, in verse 20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. This is nice. I really like this. I'm going to cheat here. Pretend like I have it memorized, but I don't. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. We talk about who is saved. And people say, well, what about the person who never heard of Jesus Christ? Well, I'll tell you right now, and this is, I guess this is my cop-out, I'm not the judge. But when it comes to the point of, do they believe in God? They are without excuse if they do not. Step out your front door and look at the sunrise. Look at the trees. Whether whatever season it is, sometimes I'm kind of split. I do think that fall is my favorite season. You look out, you see all the colors, the vibrant colors of the trees before the leaves fall, and then you have to rake them up. But spring, everything, you know, we're going into a period of dormancy, and then spring, we're coming out of that, when you see all the buds coming out. And you ever really look at the buds on a tree? I worked in a nursery for a number of years when I was in my youth, and I learned that if you snip and prune, you actually cause the tree to bud at that point and branch out. You want a nice full shrub or a nice full tree, prune it. But as you do that, look at it. Don't just walk by, oh, that's pretty. Oh, that's a beautiful tree. Look at it. You know, we can actually take and graft other things in. You ever think of the design that goes into a tree? Wow, I step back after seeing these things. You know, you have a garden that has been overlooked, and one of the favorite movies I have, this might show my sensitive side, The Secret Garden. They find this garden that's all walled up and locked away, and no one's tended to it. Well, it's dead. They get in there, and they start pulling the leaves away, and they start pruning, and it comes to life. How is that possible? I'm not a biologist, but I marvel at some of the things that we see in biology. That if we want to discuss whether there is a God, and for some people, they don't even want to discuss it. They don't want to look at the truth of the matter. God is our creator. God, from the very beginning, made a wonderful majestic creation. As things go, you have a choice. Now, you can split these choices into others, but you have a choice. You can believe that nobody or nothing, for absolutely no reason, without any directed force or motivation, void of any intelligence or order, accidentally created by chance all the wonders of the world out of absolutely nothing. You talk about faith. The odds, the statistical odds, if you sit there and calculate, and have you noticed that you look at the science books that the number of years of the age of the earth keeps growing? Because we're studying the odds. And we are to the point of the odds are that all of this came about by evolution. It's impossible. It is impossible. Because I'm still waiting for the answer to the question. Where did the original bang come from? Well, it came from this infinitesimal particle that was so small that it was practically nothing. And then I go to the laws of thermodynamics and say, but matter cannot be created or destroyed. I like to throw in there, by natural means. And they contradict themselves. And then they start using really big words that and arguments and explanations that you can't possibly understand what they're saying, so you can't dispute them. I think it's very simple. That if we say that matter cannot be created or destroyed by natural means, that's my addition, because I know that all matter was created by a living, loving creator. Intelligent, omniscient. How he did it? Well, he said that he spoke it into existence. The scripture reading for today: in the beginning was the Word. I was reading a book years ago. I can't find the book, or I'd reference it. But it suggested that the Greek word, logos, also could mean, instead of word, mind. And the two definitions of word and mind, because word is a way to, when we use words, we convey our thoughts, our mind, it's communication, but the origin of it is, in the beginning was the mind. Is mind either matter or energy? Well, some might argue that the mind is merely electrical impulses that go through the brain. The truth is that the mind is separate and apart from the body. Which would you choose to believe? The first? Or the second? Or are you going to cop out with the third? Now, I think because you all have chosen to be here, I think you're probably going to go with the second. Are we prepared to take this stance? Are we prepared to stand up at the point in time someone challenges this? Are we prepared to be able to withstand the ridicule? Realistically speaking, I will say there is a God, and I am ready to reasonably think it through. God is our creator. I know this. Now, as I was going through, I like to put little pictures, and I have a few up here, but I think visuals are good to stimulate the mind. I did find one cartoon. I didn't put it up here, but it was a cartoon of a Christian young lady saying that, I know there is a God. And then there was another young lady there, and she always had some quick answer. Well, I know there is a God. I know that He is our Creator. And if you would want to spend time to study, to look at the evidence, to look at the facts, the theory of evolution, I'm sorry, it's not even a theory. There is no evidence to back it up. There's manipulated data that they use to try to justify it, but it's not a theory. But it's treated as fact. And if we want to look at the evidence, we'll see that, back to the second law of thermodynamics now, that we're winding down. Everything is winding down. If the world and the universe is winding down, there had to have been some point in time that it was wound up. And it had to have someone winding it. God is our creator. If we consider the creation, Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, if we consider what was done, it was all done for man. It was all done because of the creation of man to provide us a habitat to live in. We look at Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. We are his handiwork. Why did God make the sun? Because we needed it. If you notice, the last thing that God created was man. He prepared everything for us so that he could put us here. If you ask me, why did God create man? I do have an answer for that. He wanted a companion. He wanted someone whom he could love and whom would love him. He knew us personally. As you go through Psalm 139, and I only put verse 13 up there, but read through the whole chapter of 139. It's very, very personal. Consider yourself, the body that you have, and more so, the soul that you are. I like the quote from C.S. Lewis. It says, I do not have a soul. I have a body. I am a soul. As we consider these things, as we talk about who our Creator is, as we talk about who God is, in Psalm chapter 8, verse 4, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him? Who are we? Because if we go with the idea that there is no God, if we go with the idea that we are just an accident, and at some point in time, through some means that we don't really know, some chemicals somehow got together and created the beginning of life. If that is the case, there is no standard of good and evil. There is no right and wrong. And if I want to do whatever I have the power to do, then I should be allowed to do that. There is no law. Do you want to live in a world like that? I don't. Our God is our creator, but also he is... I'm getting ahead of myself. This is one of my favorites right here. We'll get to the next point I was getting ready to jump ahead to. Consider the eye. I used to have probably better than 20/20 vision. I don't anymore. Had an argument. Actually, this was online many years ago. It was in a chat room. I was discussing that there is a God. I was discussing this topic. And the young lady, I assume it was a young lady, you know, she had a female name. It could have been anyone. But I was discussing with this individual that there is a God. I said, no, there's not. And I started to get into the argument of design and talking about the fact that, well, there is such an intricate design in the human body. And I just took the eye. And so you have to admit that there is a spectacular design in the eye. We have two of them. Now, there are some creatures that have more than that, but we have two of them, which actually gives us depth perception. I'm able to see about how far something is. You throw a ball to me, and I'm able to catch it most of the time. That has nothing to do with the eye, with the coordination, but you throw a ball to me, and I can catch it, because I can tell when it's going to get to me. The eye works with the brain, and I am not equipped to explain any of that to you because it's too complex for me. But I know that it was created. I know that my eyes were designed. Because of my age, they're not what they used to be, but I know this. The individual I was talking to said, well, there is no design in the eye. Like, okay. Let's take a camera. Does a camera have a designer? Well, yes, a camera has a designer. Someone designed that camera and made it. Okay, well, we actually got our design for the camera from the studying that we did of the eye. So the camera has a design, right? Yes. The eye, therefore, must have a design. No. Now, wait a minute. You're trying to tell me that the camera has a design. The eye does not. That's someone who just refused to accept the truth of the matter that the human body is designed. If the body has a design, if anyone have an old-fashioned watch with all the gears? Mine's broke, so I don't wear it anymore. Yeah, it's got a design, doesn't it? The first timepiece, however, was made on day 4. The sun, the moon, stars. How long is a month? Well, the moon goes around, it measures our month. The earth spins around, that measures our day. The earth goes around the sun, it measures our year. The week's measured by the fact that God took a week. We can't get away from this. God made this. That's design. We are just far enough from the sun that we don't freeze and we don't burn up. The size of the earth, which has gravitational force going in, and the rotation, which has centrifugal force pushing out, makes it till we aren't sucked down to the earth or we don't float away. That's design. I could go on for hours, days. Probably I could teach multiple college courses on this, college level courses. I can't do that. I'm not that intellectual level. But I know enough to know that this did not happen by accident. There's too many chance things that this could not be chance. We can reasonably think these things out if we have an open mind enough to accept the evidence for what it says. But the problem is you walk into a college, y'all plan on going to college someday? Some of you may go to a Christian college where you don't have to deal with this. Some of you may not have that option, or you may not choose that option. And you may stand before a professor someday who laughs at you, ridicules you, because you have the sense to believe there is a God. Be prepared. Don't compromise yourselves. Don't be manipulated through all the little things. And they start very, very early. There is propaganda out there, even within our children's movies, that say the world is billions upon billions of years old. Now, there are those Christians that believe in the theistic evolution. I do not believe that. If you choose to believe that, I'm not going to ridicule you. I'm not going to say, well, you're wrong and I'm right. I'm going to stand by what I believe. I believe in the biblical account that God took 6 days to create everything, and the seventh day he rested. 24-hour days. That's what I believe. I take God for his word of what he said he did. Could God have done it in millions of years? He could have. Could he have created through an evolutionary process? He could have. He has the power to do that. And I will not dispute whether God has the power to or not. But what I believe is what he said he did. But all these physical things that God created, it proves many things that he is God. He alone has the power to create. Did you guys hear about the time the scientists, they thought they were like, we finally can create life. And they sat down with God and says, we would like to challenge you, and we'll try to create our man. You can create your man, and we'll see. As they start to gather up their chemicals and their dirt and all this, like, we're gonna go ahead and do this. And God says, wait. You get your own dirt. God created all these things. But you know what? As we look back to that Genesis 1:27, God created man in his own image. As we get to Genesis 2:7, which we're going to look at here in a minute, there it is. The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground. That's what we've talked about so far. Look at your own physical bodies. That's not the spectacular thing that he created. As great and awesome as that is, I've worked with my hands a lot. And I've cut my hands a lot. Not broken a bone yet, but you ever watch a cut heal? I am fearfully and wonderfully made, said the psalmist. But that's not the spectacular thing that he created. Because it says there, and the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. The spectacular thing that God made is you. Not your body, but you, your soul. That's who you are. Let's talk about that. Because if I am an accident that came about by some, and I'm going to say miraculous. They wouldn't like me using that word, but I'm going to say miraculous event of evolution, because that would have to be miraculous. If I am just an accident, then what am I? God is our sustainer. As we take a look at Hebrews 2:7, and we'll actually go back, you're going to realize that one of the other passages that we looked at, this is a quote from. Take a look there at Hebrews 2:7, but we're going to take a look back in Psalms. And I didn't put, just for the fact that I didn't want to have too much up there, in Psalms chapter 8, which we looked at Psalms 8:4, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? In Hebrews 2:7, we see the quote. He says, okay, in Hebrews 2:7 is quoting Psalms 8:5. For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with the glory and honor. If you look at the ASV, the American Standard Version, 1901. It actually translates literally that it says, you have made him a little lower than God. This is where what we believe and what we believe as a society is very important. See, if I believe that I am made from God, by God, in God's image, then I have someone whom I need to answer to, and that is God. If I want to be my own God, say, well, I just came about. Then I can be my own boss. But as it is, I'm not my own boss. And when God gives me a law to follow, gives me the precepts to follow, then I am subject to those laws. John chapter 1, verse 4. We see again, we see a reiteration or a little difference. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. I have life. I have spiritual life. I'm able to walk around here. I'm able to talk. That's the physical control I have over this body. But I have spiritual life because of Jesus Christ, because of who he is. He is our creator. He came in the likeness of men. He came like us so that the spiritual man that I am, or the person that I am, because I've corrupted myself, can be saved. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. We've just changed the game. I am responsible to something else. I am responsible to God. And he has taken responsibility for us. He created us. He created us in his image. If we look at Ephesians 2, verse 10, I don't have that on there. Ephesians 2:10, we were created for good works. There is purpose behind the creation of us. Now we have responsibility. See, we live in a society that wants to be free from responsibility. I don't want anyone telling me what I have to do. I don't want to be held responsible for the actions that I take. I am just an accident. Anything I do, you can't hold me responsible. What are the ramifications of these teachings? What are the results? In 1925, there was a court hearing called the Monkey Scope Trial, where they had decided in court that we would teach, not creation, not that you were created by a loving, powerful God, but you just came about through evolution. What effect has that had on our society today? In 1973, and these are just two of many things that I could have brought, but in 1973, the Supreme Court, again, in our courts here in America, they decided that it would be legal to kill your baby as long as it's still in your womb. It's staggering that, and I would say these figures are probably low, if anything. These are what we have records of. 1.21 million murders, legal murders, are committed every year. And they've estimated over 56 million deaths since Roe v. Wade. 56 million. Because we do not value life as a society. Because we have decided there is no God. That is staggering. Pro-choice? Really? It's murder. This is only one of the many problems that we have in our society. We have the decline of the sanctity of marriage. We have a divorce rate that has just run rampant. We have homosexual marriage is now openly accepted by many. In fact, if you don't openly accept it, you could have legal ramifications put upon you. There's either no godly standard at all, only what the law says, and we can change the law because if we don't like this law, we'll just change it. Or we look at some of the other world religions, Islam with Sharia law. That is here, now, on our doorstep. Because they serve a God that is not Jehovah. Doesn't even resemble Jehovah. What are we going to do? How are we going to respond to this? First of all, it starts in here. You fortify your beliefs. As Peter had written, be ready to give a defense for your faith. And we must teach our children. We must pass on. We must also teach our friends and our family. This is the truth. But the greatest ramifications for our actions is the fact that people are not hearing the gospel. Or they're just saying that, oh, that's just fairy tale. That doesn't apply to me. Because if there is no God, there is no gospel. There will be a judgment day. There will be a point in time that we all will be before God. I will not say that we'll be standing before God because I do not believe we will be standing. And we will need an advocate. We will need someone there saying that this one's one of mine. There is a God. He is alive. Jesus Christ, who is God, came down as a man, humbled himself to the point of death, even a death on the cross. He died the death of a criminal because I am that criminal. I am the lawbreaker. He died for me. He died for you in your place. And we must believe this if we want to have any hope. This brings us to a point of invitation. There is a God and he loves us. There was a man Wednesday that came to that conclusion. And he took the actions that he had come to find out he needed to do. It doesn't stop there. And his salvation, from your perspective, does not stop there. He needs to be taught so much more. I look out here and I see, I'm assuming you guys have had some contact with the spiritual gift in this material. If you haven't, please do. I scored very highly in teaching. That's just kind of who I am. But I would like to say, no matter how you have scored, you are teachers. You've got to share this message. I think that there might be a God. I hope there's a God. No, there is a God. I know this. And be ready to give some of the answers and some of the arguments saying, hey, there is a God. If you choose not to believe that, if you choose to disregard, I hope you reconsider. But because there is a God, there is a law. I'm a lawbreaker, but there is hope in Christ Jesus. If you want to partake of that hope in Christ Jesus, and you haven't, you have the opportunity right now. Say here, this morning, today, you have the opportunity right now. Because if you don't come to this conclusion until tomorrow night, you have the opportunity right now. Don't wait till next Sunday. Right now. So, if that is something that you feel you need to do right now, then we will take care of that right now. Please come forward as we stand and sing.